还有这边还有一个，这边还有一个，那有有里面来，看 the lighter， 那那你用，你拿那个起来，啊 ，take the whole thing out 啊，那个是观世音的，啊，李文 ，you can light， no need to be there。Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Okay, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, 26 April 2016, is a very auspicious day. Then we are going to have a very special puja today to commemorate our Bodhisattva aspiration and vow, so that all those who have the condition, as long as you have the faith, the sincerity, and you are committed to improve your own self, your own cultivation, and develop this understanding, then no problem. Don't worry about what people say or what your thought tell you. Forget about it. This particular aspiration will help you to develop your cultivation, so that you plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, in deep within your nature, so that in future, when you have to come or you choose to come, this Bodhi mind will manifest. Even without the Buddha Sasana, it will manifest. It will remind you of the vow, the cultivation. Then after that, it is even more magnificent, because we make aspiration to have this understanding life after life. So this particular ceremony of taking the Bodhisattva precepts together with the aspiration and follow up with the four basic vow of a Bodhisattva, they will be very beneficial to cultivator, especially those who have the faith. You only need to have the faith and sincerely aspire to go this way. So like I sent out in the notes, there are five stages to the cultivation of the Bodhisattva way. And all this involves the Bodhi mind. After you have planted the seed of Bodhi, the first is to develop the aspiration to walk this way, to commit yourself to take this vow with understanding. I will explain the understanding part later. Because these four basic vows will help you to develop tremendous wisdom and understanding. Love, compassion, leading to the perfection of renunciation. Then after that, you will be able to complete this Bodhisattva cultivation to realize Sammasambuddhahood. What you need is just faith, sincerity, and perseverance. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have good paths and all those things. What is more important is this life. You have the condition to make this aspiration vow and commit yourself to plant the seed of Bodhi, so that this Bodhi mind can grow, can nurture, and bring forth the condition life after life for you to have this understanding. This is most important. So forget about what people tell you or what they explain to you. I already read to you last Tuesday. Sun Yen Pastor already explained. You got nothing to lose. You got everything to gain. And this way is so beautiful. It helps you to actually do away with the egoic mind, the self-centeredness of an individual walking this way, striving to realize enlightenment. When the Buddha says strive on with heedfulness, he is not asking you to have the craving to become enlightened. Strive on means work hard on training your mind to develop heedfulness. After you have the heedfulness, enlightenment, the here and now is guaranteed, because the heedless never die. So that is the meaning. Doesn't mean you have to strive when you meditate. No. You strive with faith, sincerity and diligence to train your mind to have heedfulness. The moment you are heedful, you are ever mindful, and you can understand anything, then the cultivation will come. Noble Eightfold Path will be understood. Then you can fulfill the four basic vows with understanding. Later I will explain more. Okay? So now we prepare ourselves, compose our mind, develop our faith. Sadha leading to the virya. Then after that, we will start our puja offering. Okay, now you all can stand mindfully. Then form a line. You can face each other if too many of you. We are on time, on the dot. So 1 more minute to 8:10 before the commencement of puja. Okay. Miss Lee, got anything to offer? You better bring. Did you bring anything? Can bring. Put a little bit on this plate. Eh? Where is this empty plate? Gone. Just now you just saw the plate. No, 放一点在那边就可以了. 不用拿整碟来. Come. Form a line. Okay, compose your mind. Develop the sadha virya and the joy within. Then we will commence. Okay, you can start off with the three. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, we will now offer the remaining. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will commence the puja chanting. Okay. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we shall mindfully commence the special puja chanting. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. 那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么普贤菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨。Okay, now we will chant the Theravada tradition to pay salutation to all great beings. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi.Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Sanghang Namami.Okay, turn to page 1 of the chanting book, then we will start off with the official puja chanting. Page 1, immediately after thevandana salutation. Now you will chant the Namo Tassa 3 times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma SambuddhasaNamo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiDutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchamiปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปดังสมาธิยามิอาดินาดานาเวรมณีสิกขาปดังสมาธิยามิมุหมิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปดังสมาธิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปดังสมาธิยามิสุราเมรายามัจจาปมาทัฏฐานะเวรมณีสิกขาปดังสมาธิยามิ Okay, before we chant the Patipada Puja, we will make one more offering, huh? Because Joyce, they all just came in. Okay.Okay, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we start our Padipa Puja. We chant the Puja for offering of likes. Ganna sarappaditthenaDithena tamadang sena Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami ธัมโมโนดังกันดาสัมบรายุเตนะโดเปนะหังสุกังหินะปุจายะปุจานิยังตังปุจาปัจจานะมุตตมังวันนะกันดาโกนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตตินปุจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปุจเจมิบุตังกสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนะเจโหตุโมคังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตถายติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริคาภิตังอนุคัมภังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาภิทังอนุคัมภังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนมันเตโบจานังปริกาภิทังอนุคัมภังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังNow let us chant the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water.May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One.Who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruitions soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body. We can diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, our spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Then I will add in for today, so that we can all have the ability to walk the path of Bodhisattva with ease. Because once your spiritual faculty is there,your meditation, your cultivation become automatic. It is very easy. Then after that, you don't have to worry. You will progress all the way. Then with today's understanding and determination together with your aspiration and vow, it will plant the great seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind within your nature, so that this nature, not only it nurture,even though it's the beginning for most people. You just aspire to walk this way. That is the first stage of the Bodhi mind. But that itself is very important, very powerful, because without this Bodhi mind being planted, this way is as good as non-existent. You cannot walk, you cannot develop the understanding. So that Bodhi mind, that enlightened thought to walk this way is very important. That's why we have to develop this understanding. Then later on, you will understand how all this vow can help you to develop great wisdom, understanding, and help in the perfection of virtue, to finally develop all of the wisdom, severe over section, and develop love and compassion to take living being across. So all this you will understand, then you will make aspiration so that life after life when you come, you will have this Dhamma, the true Dhamma, the true understanding. Then after that, you commit yourself to understand this important right views, so that life after life you will not go the wrong way, you will not make any mistake. Then after that, you understand the significance of all these four basic vows which you start as you walk this path. Then like I sent out the notes, there are five stages in the Bodhi mind development leading to perfection of Sammasambuddhahood. So you don't have to worry. The first stage is just aspire to walk this way. It's going to bring you tremendous benefit. Then after that, when you have the faith, sincerity, perseverance, then you start to develop the cultivation with understanding. Then the second stage will come. The second stage is quite easy. You are able to overcome or subdue all suffering and perception. And when you can do that, means you develop wisdom. You can develop the perfection of renunciation, because all of suffering comes from attachment, grasping, clinging to the five aggregate of form and mind. So you can severe all suffering. Perfection means you are able to develop the wisdom not to be deluded by all this phenomenal world. So that you will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. That's why you have the ability to renounce all these worldly things. But you can live with understanding. You can use them when there is condition for it to arise. So all these are great understanding, great perfection. Then after that, you cultivate the third one. You realize your own true mind, the Buddha nature. So that will follow as you cultivate this four basic vow. Because when you vow to penetrate and understand all dhammas in whatever manner, the limitless way to truth, you vow to cultivate them all, you vow to realize them all. So as you do this, you will realize the enlightenment, and your nature will be very different. Then after that, you can relinquish samsara, you will not attach. Then you will walk this way with ease to develop perfection, the 10 perfection, to become sammasambuddha. Then the fifth stage is, of course, the consummation or the final realization of all wisdom and virtue. The perfection of all the 10 perfection leading to Sammasambuddhahood. And all this can happen because of the first seed of Bodhi. If you don't plant this seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind, or they call Bodhi Chitta in Tibetan tradition. This Bodhi Chitta, or the enlightenment thought to go this way to perfect the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, this is the seed that will nurture you, so that in future when you come, even without the Buddha Sasana, as I early on I say, don't miss this window, means to plant this seed, so that in future when you come, you have to come or you choose to come even without Buddha Sasana, that seed of Bodhi that has been planted will manifest, and your nature will know, and you will connect, and you will recall, then you will be reminded of this vow You are this vow, I like your precept. Out of love and compassion for you, the Buddha introduced the precepts so that you will not fall, so that you will know how to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind to develop wisdom. But the four basic vows go beyond that. It do away with self-centeredness, the egoic mind that wants to be enlightened. So that strong ego or sakkayadity is very difficult to root out, because the thought will tell you many, many things. He said, this way is so long. Are you sure you can do it? Then what happened? Fear arise. That's why you get into trouble. Wherever there is fear, there is delusion. It's the thought, it's not you. When you understand this five aggregate of form and mind is just a vehicle and a tool for you to come, to do your work, to perfect your cultivation, to develop your karmic nature and your spiritual nature, then you will understand, like the Diamond Sutta, you will cultivate without the mark of a self cultivating. That's why the ego is being watered down, slowly, slowly eradicated through this four great vow, because you come for the living being. It's not about yourself anymore. You vow to save the limitless living being and take them all across. Then you vow to endure and severe all suffering or vexation, so that you have the wisdom to cultivate renunciation, so that you will not hold on to anything, no matter how precious or how dear, because they are the conditioned world, not what you think. Then when you vow to perfect all wisdom, so that you can have the ability to help living beings and take them across and do the work of a bodhisattva, that is where you will become very different. You will understand many, many things. Then you can teach, you can share. You are no longer self-centered. You are no longer egoic. That's why this way, the Bodhisattva way, is very unique, very different, and very beautiful. Then the last one, of course, is the perfection of the time perfection. But by the time you finish your first three vows, you have developed a lot of perfection. The first vow will develop love and compassion. The second vow will develop renunciation, wisdom. Then the third vow is perfection of wisdom. When you perfect your wisdom, you will know how to make aspiration, adhitana, and all those things. Then your dhanaparami is always there, because you only give. There is no self involved. You never want anything. You never take anything. Everything is condition arising, cause of phenomena. And all this will become very clear to you as you go through this cultivation. That's why it's about love, compassion, wisdom, and renunciation. About generosity. Then all this perfection of virya and all those things, even such a truth, you will automatically will know how to perfect it, because you know it's never worthwhile to lie, to cheat, to go against all this nature's law. So all this understanding will be very beautiful. So now we continue with the seventh one, sharing our merits and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now I will simultaneously do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas is the mind with amazing be pass the mic to him. Okay, I will recite the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas and deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching or doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching or doctrine. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalesu. Acchagacchantu devata Saddhammang munirajas Sunantu saggamokkhadang Dhammasavanakalo Ayang badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayang badanta Dhammasavanakalo Ayang badanta
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa iti peso bhagavā arahaṃ sammā sambuddho vicca carana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasāraṭhi Sattha Deva Manosana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Uyupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sammīcī patipanno bhagavato sāvaka sāṅgho Yadidāṁ cattari purisa yukkāni Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvaka sāṅgho Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkhineyo Anjalikaraneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pajami Dhammaṃ pajami Sanghaṃ pajami Okay, now we will continue with our chanting. The first one is Great Compassionate Mantra. Maybe we cut short to one time, Great Compassionate Mantra, because we don't have so much time. Then Heart Sutta also one time. Okay, you all can start. You want me to ring the bell? Okay, I ring the bell, then you all can commence. There is a song sheet, in front of you, okay?
世音菩萨，南无大悲观世音菩萨，南无大悲观世音菩萨。是婆来耶，菩提萨埵婆耶，摩诃萨埵婆耶，摩诃迦如尼迦耶，安萨帕赖伐伊，苏丹那丹谢，南摩悉吉利多依蒙阿利耶。婆卢揭帝释佛拉楞多婆，南无那赖谨墀悉利摩诃般多萨埵，萨婆诃他哆树诃，阿斯云萨婆萨埵，南无婆萨埵，南无婆揭摩伐特哆，但自他安阿婆如是，卢迦帝迦如帝，依悉利摩诃菩提萨埵，萨婆萨婆，摩来摩来，摩悉摩悉利多喻，俱卢俱卢揭摩，哆卢哆卢，跋涉耶帝。摩诃跋涉耶帝，哆来哆来帝利尼，释佛来耶遮来遮来，摩摩跋摩来，摩帝利依悉依悉，舍奈舍奈，阿赖僧佛来舍利，跋沙跋僧佛来舍耶。呼噜呼噜摩来，呼噜呼噜悉利，娑来娑来悉利悉利，苏噜苏噜菩提耶菩提耶，菩陀耶菩陀耶，弥帝利耶那来谨墀，帝利舍利奈，婆耶摩奈萨婆诃，悉哆耶萨婆诃，诃悉哆耶萨婆诃，悉哆依于是般来耶萨婆诃，那来谨墀萨婆诃，摩来那来萨婆诃，悉来僧阿摩揭耶萨婆诃，萨婆摩诃阿悉哆耶萨婆诃，遮吉来阿悉哆耶萨婆诃，波陀摩揭悉哆耶萨婆诃，那来谨墀般揭来耶萨婆诃，波婆利僧揭来耶萨婆诃，南无阿赖耽耐多赖耶耶，南无阿利耶婆卢揭帝释般赖耶萨婆诃，安悉殿多曼多赖跋哆耶萨婆诃。揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃，揭谛揭谛婆若揭谛婆若僧，揭谛菩提萨婆诃， 揭谛揭谛般若揭谛般若僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃观自在菩萨心生般若波罗蜜多时照见五蕴皆空度一切苦厄舍利子舍不异空空不异舍色即是空空即是色受想行识亦复如是舍利子是诸法空相不生不灭不垢不净不增不减是故空中无色无受想行识无眼耳鼻舌身意无舌身相为诸法无眼界乃至无意识界无名亦无无明尽乃至无老时亦无老时尽无苦集灭道无智意无得已无说得故菩提萨埵依般若波罗蜜多故心无挂碍无挂碍故无有恐怖远离颠倒梦想究竟灭盘三世诸佛依般若波罗蜜多故得阿耨多罗三藐三菩提故知般若波罗蜜多是大神咒是大明咒是无上咒是无等等咒能除一切苦真实不虚故说般若波罗蜜多咒即说咒曰揭谛揭谛般若揭谛般若僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛般若揭谛般若僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃揭谛揭谛般若揭谛般若僧揭谛菩提萨婆诃
Okay, thank you so much. Yeah. So now we will commence our next item, which is I think the briefing before we take the Bodhisattva vow and precepts or aspiration, the four basic vow. So now I will guide you along. But before we do that, I would like to pass this book to some of you. Now my turn, don't worry. Okay, this book actually also came just last Sunday when I had an appointment with Yun Chan. She was so kind, took me to for dinner. Then my wife, together we went for dinner. After that, make an appointment with the Titta one to help me heal my last spine. Then she said she went to Taiwan. You remember last time we went to the four-way place? She also followed Ciji, the English section one. But this time he went to this 圣严法师的法鼓山，嗯 ，he went there again. Then she brought two books. She told me. Then one book, she said, very cute, which is this book. She saw the title, The Method of No Method. He said, like Brother Teo one. He said, method never define the meditation. So meditation, they use method means they don't understand what is meditation. That's why he never used the word meditation. He just said the method. Of no method. When you meditate with a method, means you don't understand meditation. Method is just a skillful mean to train your mind. But it turned out to be a very beautiful book. She at first asked me, "What do you want to read or not?" I said, "The title so interesting. Can I pass to me?" So I thought it was meditation, but then it turned out to be a retreat that he conducted in the 1990-something, I think, end of 1990-something, in New York, the Fa Gu San, the branch in U.S. And this book became a very good bestseller. Yeah. He teach the meditation that he learned during all these years, silent illumination. Actually, silent illumination was exactly what I teach us all, but he used another name. I just say, silent mind with clear awareness within. He also know, silent without illumination is samatha. Then later I read to you, you understand. Illumination is awareness. You must be silent yet free mind with full awareness. And the type of samadhi in daily life is the real one. Not the one that sits like a statue, is it? That has no illumination. Illumination doesn't mean see light, you know. No clarity, awareness within. Can live life one, can understand things, can awaken to things one, not in absorption, one-pointedness of concentration. That's why it's very good. Then there's another part, he talked about the Bohi mind, you know, which was what I want you all to understand, but I didn't know it would come so fast. At first I thought stage by stage, let you understand the importance of planting the seed of Bohi, developing the Bohi, resolve to walk this way. Then only I slowly teach you the other thing. But then the book come, and at the nick of time. So when I read it last night, I say, this is beautiful. Not last night, sorry, Sunday night when I came back. Then I say, this is beautiful. Then I decided to photostat the book. But before I photostat, I use my handphone, WhatsApp, the three important pages to you first to read about the five stages of Bohi mind cultivation. That's how Bodhisattva cultivate. And you don't have to worry. When you take the vow, the first stage is what? You aspire sincerely to walk this way. Is it very difficult? Yeah. Is there any danger? Forget about what people tell you. Those who don't understand, they panic people. They put fear in the people. They simply write things. We are the thought tell them, this is not play. You know. This is serious. Bodhisattva vow. You know. They turn to take aeons. Means the ego is there. The delusion is there. And the fear that arises is from delusion. And these people who say all these things are no different from those. Earlier on, I used to share with you all the Theravada tradition who don't believe Mahayana. They go and tell people about Mahayana, not the real teaching. If you do this and put fear into all this potential aspirant to walk the way of Bodhisattva, to plant the seed of Bohi, you know what will happen to you, no? You will be obstructed for life, many, many lives. That's why recently there are two or three who came and talked to me that they read from other sources. This is very dangerous, they say, because a lot of things you cannot do, a lot of restriction, and some more quotes, the sutta and all those things. No? Then got one lady say, I'm not ready, I don't have this type of quality, say, or liu. I replied to her, I said, please understand, that is your thought telling you. This is not wisdom. This is not understanding. What have you got to lose by making all this aspiration and taking the vow, the four basic vow? Does it cause you any problem or harm, or only benefits you? So all these are very simple questions. And the vow, the four basic vow, didn't say you cannot do this, you cannot do that. Understand or not? It's no different from taking the precepts. Except now you vow, understand or not, to an understanding which is very beautiful. So okay, I will give this book to those people whom I know. Sorry, before Suyan, you share this one. Then Joyce, you can have this. Then I think who else? I think Pamasuri, you have. You already have. Song, ni hai mai yo, yo le ma. Nai pan. Then Pam Eng Bi, I give you one. Hello, hi. Ni gan a end ham en share ha. Okay, yeah, saw that. Don't worry, you don't need this book. But if you are interested, you can maybe go and look for it by Zen Master Sun Yan, Susan. At least Klang Sai got one. Okay, yeah. Okay, no problem. No problem. Last one is Miss Lee. Earlier on, I given out to Alicia. Yun Chan, you have the original, so you don't need. Oh, anybody saw the original book of Yun Chan? Oh, very good. Oh, Yun Chan, fantastic. Can let go everything already. Dhamma also can let go. Okay. With this, I will commence the sharing. Those who can see your WhatsApp, you can refer to it. While I read to you, it's no different. This retreat, actually, there were two parts. The first part was conducted by Master Sun Yan himself. Then the second part, he based it on a very famous Zen master, Hong Zi, I think. Dhamma master or Zen master, Hong Zi. Zheng Jue something. It seems this Hong Zi is very famous. He is the second generation disciple of Hui Ning. Six patriarch. So they are very beautiful teaching, and this Hong Zi teach silent illumination. I think Sun Yan must have learned from him. So both are very beautiful sharing and teaching. So I like this fifth day one where he talked about arousing the Bohi mind. Now I read to you. To have Bohi mind or Bohi Chitta, mind is Chitta. That's why the Tibetan tradition, you always hear them talk about Bohi Chitta. They always talk about Bodhicitta. So to them, it's very important to arouse the Bohi mind. Bohi is enlightened, the thought, the enlightenment thought. Then you remember when we were at Taiwan, I think 2 or 3 years back, I forgot already what exactly which year. I think a lot of Kayamita went with us. Even Sui An's mother also was with us. We went to the first one, Zhong Tai Chan Si, you remember? What did the monk, the Zen, the abbot, who is 90 over years old, told us in the booklet that he wrote? He said he built this way place, not to become famous, not like monument for tourists to come and visit, is it? You know what is the main intention or not? So that all these who have affinity, say millions, will come and visit every year. He only need to have one of them at least one of them, after they come and visit, they can feel, recall their past, to renew their seed of Bohi, or plant the seed of Bohi, or those who have faith when they are there, they somehow got conditioned, they decide to plant the seed of Bohi. He said that single wholesomeness, even one living being go that way and finally realize Sammasambuddhahood. He said all of the money or expense and the hard work they do is worth it. So this is how cultivator or the way who want to benefit living being will actually have the understanding. That's why they will do a lot of things. And we were there, the temple was so beautiful. Then we were actually so fortunate here always to go up to the very top level of the pagoda. I think it was 7 or 9 story high. Then that special Buddha Rupang, I think is Yao Si Pho Medicine Buddha. 7 or 9 story high, make of timber, solid timber. And we had the chance to went to the upper floor and he took us through all the room with all the beautiful Buddha Rupang and the decor and all those things. And the energy was so soothing, so good, so beautiful. So this is what he mean, the plant, the seed of Bohi. So to have Bohi mind is to arouse the altruistic mind of enlightenment. You know what is altruistic, isn't it? Huh? Who knows the meaning? Huh? Altruistic. Huh? English teacher. Lily, where is Lily? Do you don't know? Say Yun Chan, you know not? Oh, very good. Doing something without expecting any return. Which means you actually very, very beautiful in your understanding. You just want to help without any expectation of return. Means you do for others. Service above self. Understand? So altruistic mind of enlightenment. You just want to help people develop understanding, awakening, and do things for the welfare of all, devote your service to the welfare of the many. Then he said, without Bohi mind, one can at best liberate oneself or practice worldly samadhi. This is very true. That's why you don't plant the seed of Bohi and walk this way. At best, no, he used the word. Yeah? Liberate oneself, inverted comma. Or practice worldly samadhi. The samadhi in which one still has attachment. You know the meaning or not? Yeah? This is what he means by thought-based meditation. Understand or not? You understand or not? Because the self is very strong. The sakyadity, self-enlightenment. The self-striving, meditating, doing all these things. So he said, if you do this without the Bohi mind, means the enlightenment thought, which is your true mind, if you don't meditate with your true mind, you use your mundane mind, what happened? One can at best, he say, liberate the word oneself. Means you think there is a person to liberate, understand? Or practice worldly samadhi. So when you base on thought-based Dhamma knowledge, you know what type of samadhi you have? You think you got Dhamma, you think you got samadhi, but you still got attachment. So that's why he said, practice worldly samadhi, the samadhi in which one still has attachment. Therefore, Bohi mind is the foundation and primary focus of all Mahayana practitioners who walk the Bodhisattva way. Then renunciation means disavowing attachment, fame, self-benefits, and worldly attachment or clinging. As our interest in worldly phenomena diminish, our self-centeredness also diminish. You understand this one, right? Where you cultivate without the mark of a self, you come for the living beings. That's why all these attachment and other things, they will go. Then what is renunciation? Renunciation is to renounce all those things that are not real, so that you don't deludedly attach, cling, and hold. And he didn't explain this part because to him he understands. But the deep meaning is the first noble truth that the Buddha expounded or proclaimed is the noble truth of suffering. What is the final summary? What did the Buddha say? In short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to cling, grasp, and hold on to the five aggregates of form and mind. Upadana khandas. That is the cause of suffering. That's why craving is the cause of suffering. Because when you grasp, cling, and hold, you have craving. You wanting your way. You believe all these are real. Your fame, your reputation, your form and mind, your physical body, you attach, you cling, your possession, your wealth, your loved one, all this you hold tightly. The phenomenal world, your property, your wealth, your business, everything you think you own, your prized possession or antique or whatever, even your own beautiful wife, cars, spouse, and other things. So when you understand attachment is the cause of suffering, that's why you must cultivate the opposite of attachment, which is renunciation. You renounce the world, the phenomenal world. You renounce all that is unreal, condition arising, dependent originating. So that's why when we took the vow to sever all the section of suffering, means what? Means what? When you can cultivate until you can severe all suffering, endure and severe all suffering, means what? You got no more suffering, correct or not? No more suffering means what? No more attachment, no more clinging, no more grasping. That's how renunciation can be perfected. And renunciation is one of the 10 perfections to be a Buddha. But the Theravada tradition only teach one particular type of renunciation. What is that? Going for to become a monk, understand? You renounce the world by shaving and taking the monk's precept. And there is only one part. Kaya vivika, self-renunciation. Physical renunciation. Yes, you renounce all of your possession, your loved one, your whatever, physical things. But your mind, your thought, your idea, your views, your opinion, you still hold, understand? Your clinging, your grasping is still so strong. That's why the true renunciation is when there is no more delusion, no more suffering. That's why you vow to endure and severe all the section and suffering is to develop this type of wisdom. It's not non-attachment. It's wisdom that lead to renunciation of everything that is unreal. And that is the real renunciation. And you have to perfect that. That's why all the vow lead to all this. The second vow, to endure and severe all the section of suffering. It's not to ask you to go and yan and sound of suffering. No. Endure with wisdom and severe them all so that in future they have no power over you. That's why you cannot hold, cannot cling, cannot grasp. Then, no need to let go. Understand? Who let go? Only those who hold, cling, and grasp. That's why without this vow, you cannot develop this wisdom and perfection. Then you vow to liberate and take across all living beings. How are you going to do that without love and compassion? That's why you must have love and compassion for living beings. You come for the living being out of love and compassion. And this is the mind that you need to come for rebirth. You no longer have delusion because as a bodhisattva who has walked certain period of cultivation, most of them are already enlightened. They have that ability and their mind already realized bodhi. That's why because of that, they actually don't have rebirth because there is no avijja, ignorant, at the point of death, parinibbana. So they cannot take normal rebirth. Then how do they come? That's why they come through love and compassion. They pull out this mind through their vow. That's why you take the Bodhisattva vow to come for the. So this vow will trigger the pure mind, love and compassion, to take rebirth into a form of mind through your karmic nature, which is still there. That's why it can come. Without this, you cannot. That's why the first vow is because of this, to cultivate love and compassion. Because this is pure virtue, pure mind states, without greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why it can still come, but it needs a mind to come. Ultimately, in the cultivation, you know there is no self, no mark of a self, no mark of living being. So where is there any living being to save? No, but the conditioned world, law of karma, recognizes living being. That's why there are suffering within the conditioned world. There are this noble evil path. There is old age, sickness and death, birth, enlightenment and all those things. But within the true emptiness realization, that's why Heart Sutra says, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. That's why the wisdom is different. The understanding is different. The cultivation is very different. Then after you have love and compassion, you develop wisdom through enduring and severing all the section. Then renunciation, no more attachment or delusion to cling and to grasp. Then the third one is what? You vow to perfect all Dhamma. Means perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita. That's how you from there develop the wisdom to perfect the 10 perfection, which is your last basic power for Bodhisattva. Then each and every one of us who walk this way, our nature are different. Then you can add in your other vows, just like what most Bodhisattva has done. So that one is under miscellaneous vow. Later I explain to you. We will move on a bit faster. Okay, now I go on. The analogy here is quite good. Saint Yen Pastor say, if a boat is filled with rock, and if more and more rocks are piled in, the boat will eventually sink. Similarly, when your self-importance and self-centeredness attachment are extremely heavy, the burden of our suffering of a section can sink the boat, and we will be unable to sail into the ocean of wisdom. Why is the ocean of wisdom? Life itself is your greatest teacher, Anasana. You don't have affliction. You have clarity of mind. You have virtue, love, compassion, and wisdom, renunciation. You can sail freely into the ocean of wisdom, which is life itself. If through renunciation our perceptions are lightened or severed, the boat can sail smoothly. It will be prajna, the boat of wisdom, carrying us to the other shore. So all this is what the cultivation is all about. To have compassion means extending oneself for the benefits of others, while simultaneously lessening your own self-attachment, delusion. Some serious practitioners tend to have more and more of the mind of renunciation and less of compassion. This one also one-sided, according to Master Chen Yen. They like practicing alone and prefer not to have responsibility. This is a kind of escapism. That's why a lot become what? They went into this forest and all this thing. They call what already? There's an English word, I forgot. Hermit. They become hermit. They live alone. Then they develop their own cultivation. Because the real meditation is life itself. You cannot run away. It's just like every time cultivator got problem, what they do? They go to retreat. You have seen a lot like that on it. I think I must go to retreat. This world is crazy. I cannot survive. I cannot live. If the Buddha also like that, he is not the Buddha. Understand? He is the Buddha because he is at peace in the world and out of the world. Understand? That's why you cultivate until you cannot tolerate society. You cannot tolerate the daily life. You cannot tolerate so many things. You become so sensitive and so miserable. that is not the Buddha Dhamma. So you have to be careful. That's why here Sun Yan said, this is a kind of escapism. The same attitude occurs, for example, when a person wants to enjoy the good thing in marriage, but not to take responsibility. They want to have the nice moment, honeymoon. After that, responsibility to raise the child and all those things. He said, the one, are you pregnant? Cannot, I think, affect us, no. And he asked you to go for abortion and all those things. So this is Sun Yan Fa's analogy. Then he said, on the one hand, he seeks happiness, and on the other hand, he avoids responsibility. That's why, you remember the Sangha? Of wise conduct, of responsible conduct. That's why they hold on to their responsibility, their duty, with regards to the law of karma, nature's law that governs life. That's why they never neglect their duty. Of good conduct, of upright conduct, of wise conduct, and of dutiful or responsible conduct. That's why these are the mark and virtue of an enlightened being. If you don't have this, you have to check your cultivation. Then a good marriage needs both components of happiness and responsibility. Analogously, in Bodhi mind, it is necessary to have compassion as well as renunciation. Understand? Renunciation is wisdom, ability not to cling, not to hold, can renounce anything. No problem. Even this moment, the breath stops, no problem. You will never think, "Ayo, I haven't done my will. I haven't left behind all the things that I need to tell my loved one." No such thing, understand? Condition arising entity is not what you think. That's why it's impermanent. You grasp, cling and hold, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, it's not you, that's why it's non-self. Empty, not what you think. So this is the important understanding that one has to develop while one cultivates. Then Sun Yan Fa says, wisdom is not attained by wishing, but by decreasing the self-delusion, self-attachment, and your suffering of affection. So you cannot wish for wisdom. I wish I will be wise one day. I wish I will be enlightened one day. So you can go and wish. Who wish? The thought wish. And the thought cannot realize. That's why I say, you have to cultivate to reduce your sakyadity, self-delusion, your suffering, your affection. You have to cultivate virtue and wisdom. To this end, we generate the Bodhi mind through renunciation and compassion, is it? If we have renunciation without compassion, we will reject the world and develop negativity. If we have compassion without renunciation, we will be attached to the world with a mind of seeking. So compassion and renunciation are inseparable in the Bodhi mind. You must have love, compassion and wisdom. Well, renunciation is wisdom. When you can renounce, means you don't attach. Don't cling, means you have wisdom. That's why the perfection of renunciation is the cultivation of wisdom. So compassion and renunciation are inseparable in Bodhi mind. Together they are called the Bodhi mind. Then the four great vows of the Bodhisattva, the basic vow. When the Bodhi mind is founded in renunciation and compassion, the practice or the cultivation of the Bodhi mind rests on these four great vows. That's why we chant every day, I vow to deliver the innumerable sentient being. I vow to endure and cut off the endless vexation of suffering. Actually, you should change the word to this nature of mind, vow. To master the limitless approach to Dhammas, this nature of mind vow to attain supreme Buddhahood through the perfection of the ten perfection to be a Sammasambuddha. Then to fulfill the first vow of delivering sentient being, we also need the second vow, which is to eliminate our own vexation of suffering while helping others becoming free of theirs. Because you can't even overcome your suffering, your own vexation. How can you liberate living being? You can't even solve your own problem. That's why you come together. You must develop the wisdom to endure and severe oversection. We must learn different ways to help. So we study and master the different approaches to Dhamma so that you can be effective. Otherwise, you cannot teach. Remember what I shared with you? How come this nature of my dislike I can teach? Everyone is so different. You think easy to teach? Cannot. You don't have that type of understanding. You cannot. Everyone is so different, so unique. Your karma, your background, everything is very, very different. Then, this is the third vow. As this task is being fulfilled, we also cultivate to become Buddhas, which is the fourth vow. We begin by delegating ourselves for the benefits of all sentient beings. And only the last vow do we aspire to Buddhahood. Therefore, while the spirit of Bodhi mind is renunciation and compassion, and those who have the book, we are on page 40, the top. The body of Bodhi mind is fulfilling the four great vows. In fact, the four great vows embody renunciation and compassion. Renunciation is actually wisdom. For example, the vow to deliver sentient being is compassion, love and compassion. But we can only accomplish this by renouncing sakayadity or self-centeredness, self-delusion. Again, we can renounce our own vision, endure and severe them all. But it is only with compassion that we can truly help liberate living beings, relieve their own suffering. Thus, the four great vows are actually expedient way to accomplish these two great qualities of Bodhi mind, which is love, compassion, and wisdom or renunciation. Some will wonder how they can fulfill even the first of these vows. It is hard enough just to practice on our own. This one is a thought saying. However, one should see the vow as statement of intention, not promises to achieve something by a certain date or time. The vow are not necessarily meant to be accomplished in one lifetime. Rather, the vow give us a long-term direction and a sense of dedication. Then step by step, we gradually fulfill the vow. What you need, he didn't mention here, is your faith, your sincerity, and perseverance, endurance. But unless we generate the four great vows, we should not consider ourselves Mahayana practitioner or cultivator of the way who walk the path of Dhamma to become Sammasambuddha. Then the Zen practice is Dhamma cultivation. When we cultivate in the spirit of Bodhi mind and the four great vows, Zen meditation is no different from Dhamma practice in that we establish a goal and a direction. We work towards this goal according to our own pace and we walk on this path towards our destiny. Guided by the path of renunciation and compassion, we will have the wisdom to help others. We have talked about the four noble truths. Listen to this. The three characteristics of existence, or the three marks of existence, the Bodhi mind, and the four great vows. And we have learned how to sit in silent illumination. The purpose of all this is to terminate affliction, means suffering, grasping, and self-importance, sakayadity, clinging. We do this so that we will be in a better position to help others. We use the method, concept, and views to cut off a section in ourselves and help others do the same. In so doing, we realize renunciation and compassion. That's why when you are not deluded, you don't cling, you don't attach, you have wisdom. That's why you can renounce all the illusion, which are none other than the Bodhi mind. And then in the Avatamsaka, Avatamsaka Sutta, also known as the Flower Ornament Sutta or Huarenzing, there is this phrase, when Bodhicitta or the Bodhi mind is generated, one ultimately attains Buddhahood. That's why you need to plant that seed so that it rise the condition for you to be reminded of this cultivation, vow and understanding, life after life. This is a teaching of awakened mind entering the path of Buddhahood. Arousing Bodhi mind may be much, or it may be little, but it is an accomplishment. You may not fulfill this path completely, but you have at least gained a strong foothold, and you are certain to attain Buddhahood in the future. In that sense, one attains Buddhahood when Bodhicitta is generated. Someone who gives rise to Bodhicitta, and who also vows to benefit all living beings, is a Bodhisatta. Then the stages of Bodhimaya. This one is what I want to share with you tonight. Arousing Bodhimaya establishes one on the path to Buddhahood, but it is still an embryonic Buddhahood. According to the Mahapragnaparamita Sutta, what is this Sutta? The Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutta. Complete Buddhahood is realized only after you have fulfilled all the five stages of Bodhimaya. What is the first stage of Bodhimaya? Yeah? The Bodhimaya that first aspire to become a Buddha. So difficult. Huh? You make that resolve, that aspiration, because you are sincere, you have the faith, and you are willing to persevere to realize it. So that is the first stage of Bodhimaya cultivation. And everyone who has the condition, understanding, and sincerity and faith, you should take, because you plant the seed of Bodhi, and you got nothing to lose. Then you go on to develop wisdom through your cultivation. Then when you develop wisdom, what happens? The Bodhi mind that subdues affliction means you are able to subdue all affliction, means no more suffering, means you are already wise. You are not deluded by the phenomenal world, the conditioned world. Then there is a second stage. Then the third stage is the Bodhi mind that illuminates Buddha nature as enlightenment. Means you not only awaken, no, you illuminate that nature within, no, your true nature, no, until it becomes so clear, no. Means you connect to the gateway. You're able to transform and illuminate that nature within. That's why this third phase will make you a real Bodhisatta. That's why the gateway, I told you all, you won't do it until you later on in the cultivation, unless you have the past and the condition. That's why this third way, the third stage is very powerful. After this, you will never regress. Then after that, the Bodhi mind that renounce samsara and attain Buddhahood means you know already. Samsara is just for my mind, not me, no reality. That's why you will renounce samsara. You will not be like afraid of it, worry about it. So, like the thought tell you, oh, you for eons and eons and eons know how to tahan, man. How to walk this way, crazy. That's your thought telling you. That's why you dare not do all this, because you don't understand. But at the fourth stage, this is no more. That's why it renounces samsara. Samsara is just condition arising. The nature's law like that, and you know how to come. That's why one of my teachers told me, if you know how to come, you will know how to return. That's why you can return to the source. If you don't know how to come, then what happens? Gong gong lai, gong gong si. Gong gong jia, gong gong toa, gong gong si. All also gong and delusion. Because you don't know who you are and you don't know how to come. So, who take you here? Law of karma take you here. Your good friend take you here. And every life you come, you don't know what is going on. Because delusion, sakyadity, complain, worry, fear, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, payback karma. Then every time, blame. Why like that? Why am I so sui? How come God is so unfair? When you do to people, you never question that. But when karma hit back and you reap what you sow, you complain, number one. And you cannot understand, why am I so miserable? Why is everything not right? When you make people miserable and fearful, you never have any virtue, or sorry, any right thought or sympathy towards them. Through your delusion, you heedlessly continue to do. And life after life, you come, you have to pay all this back. So these five stages of Bodhi mind is very beautiful. The last one is the Bodhi mind of the consummate, means you reach the pinnacle of wisdom and compassion. So incomplete Buddhahood means you complete the 10 perfection. Where do we stand in the five stages of Bodhisattva mind or Bodhi mind? I ask you the question. Where do you stand? You are very confident that at least stage one. Stage one very simple, I aspire only, it's so difficult. After we are going to do. So you don't worry, you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Or have we not yet generated the Bodhi mind? Means first stage also don't have. Because the Bodhi mind also not generated, not planted, you are not sincere, you don't have the faith and the sadhana, you don't have the determination. That's why you must aspire with utmost sincerity and determination that this is very important. This is the Dhamma that I need to have. This is the right view that I need to understand. That's why I am going all out. I don't want to miss this window, to plant this seeds of Bodhi, to walk this way, so that every life this nature come or choose to come or have to come, you will have this understanding. You will have this Bodhi mind planted, the seed of Bodhi, that will nurture and grow, can be nourished through wisdom and compassion. Then the next one is, every day we read in the, what is liturgy, I also don't know, about Bodhi mind, and we recite the four great vows. Therefore, I ask you all to arouse this attitude of Bodhi mind within yourself. This is very important. And to start on the way of Bodhisattva way or Buddhahood. Your main task will be to make and fulfill the four great vows and to accomplish wisdom, compassion, and ultimate Buddhahood. How do you generate Bodhi mind? For one, you can generate Bodhi mind when you bow to your meditation cushion. This one is his way, his style. To him, the meditation cushion is where you sit and meditate there. So he said that it's his Bodhi mandala. That's why he pay respect to his cushion before sitting. This is your Bodhi mandala, the site of your enlightenment, your lotus flower of wisdom and compassion. This is where you begin to fulfill your vow. So a lot of Mahayana take this style of practice because they respect the cushion they sit. This is the Bodhi mandala, the way place where they become enlightened. We cannot fulfill wisdom if we lack compassion. But to be compassionate, there must also be wisdom or renunciation. If one lacks both compassion and renunciation, then self-centeredness will flourish and suffering section will increase. See, without love and compassion and wisdom, your egoic mind, self-centeredness and suffering will increase. So you must understand and grasp those two principles. Love and compassion leading to wisdom. Otherwise, sitting on a cushion is no better than sticking a pole in the ground. Solid, motionless, and erect. Stagnate means what? Do samatha meditation. Stick a pole in the ground, solid, motionless, stillness. They call that samadhi, and erect. Wow, very straight. No backbone. Stagnant and useless. He used the word useless now. That's why you do thought-based meditation, samatha, without any clarity of mind, without any awareness within. Your mind is not free. You will get trapped. To be free from this state, you have to be spiritually alive, potent and luminous. Alive means what? Free mind. Luminous means clarity. Potent means a lot of wisdom. How do we become spiritually potent and bright? By cultivating stillness. You will experience the dynamic working of compassion and renunciation, the Bodhi mind. Within this potency, the mind becomes illuminated. To them, illuminated means there is awareness. Silent is stillness, silent mind, or tranquility, paucity, stillness of mind, the meditative mind. So from now on, every time you sit, please generate the Bohi mind. Please arouse the altruistic mind. Bohi mind is just the mind of renunciation and the mind of compassion. The mind of renunciation consists of severing or suffering, vasection. That's how you develop wisdom. Yeah? Vasection, suffering, come from the five grasping aggregate. When you grasp and cling through delusion, self-delusion, suffering will arise. So when you cultivate renunciation, you are cultivating endurance and severing the suffering or vasection. The mind of compassion is delivering all sentient beings. How do you sever vasection and deliver sentient being? To cultivate the approaches to Dhamma that you have learned and will learn. That's why that vow will help you. And you also are cultivating silent illumination. Now use the cultivation to gain an entry. So he explained to you silent illumination. Since it is more natural for most people to understand cultivation as occurring in stages, I have described silent illumination as occurring in stages. It is possible to contemplate emptiness and selflessness at any stage in silent illumination. It is also possible to experience enlightenment at any stage of this practice. It is not necessary to progress stage by stage. Stage 1 is just sitting and being aware of the total bodily sensation. See? Kaya nupasana leading to Vedana lupasana. The stage is entering by completely relaxing body and mind. See? The key criteria is what? Relax and maintain awareness. Either through breathing contemplation or directly beginning to sit with total body awareness. See? People who understand, they know. Relax, aware. The four support there on the whiteboard. Then stabilize it. The second stage is experiencing the environment as one with oneself. You are the environment and the environment is you. Means spacious awareness without a center. Your nature and all nature become one. The third stage of silent illumination is the experience of boundless spaciousness. We cannot experience the mind as infinite if it is swamped with discursive thinking. Means what? Your false thought, your delusion, your heedless thinking. That's why he says swamped with discursive thought or heedless thinking and delusion. We also cannot experience the environment as infinite if we constantly discriminate among sense objects. What is discrimination? Duality, like and dislike, pleasant. This is your sensual desire, you will. When your mind is so preoccupied with this heedless reaction of mind and thinking, how can you be aware and with the one with the nature? That's why you cannot be sensitive, you cannot be aware, because you are preoccupied with the sense experience and stirring your mind to react to it. That's why you discriminate among sense objects. There is no equanimity, resulting in narrow point of view. What is that? You create the thought, asana. You go and focus, perceive and input the content. Then from spacious awareness without a center, you focus into a very narrow thought space. Then you get yourself lost in thought, preoccupy your thinking, views, opinion and stirring of mind, reaction of mind. That's how you become heedless. That is why you cannot meditate with the thought. You are dead. That's why it's resulting in a narrow point of view. But when our thought totally subsides, what happened? Without thought, we perceive the mind as infinitely vast. And when all our discriminations stop, we perceive the environment as infinitely vast. That's why the spaciousness, awareness, without a center, that is your true mind, your true nature. Spacious awareness without a center. But he didn't describe it so clearly. But for those who understand, they will know what he means. Yeah, he also understands. You can totally relax and maintain your awareness. You realize the same thing or not? The four support. Relax and aware. So he said the same. If you can totally relax and maintain your awareness of just sitting, the body sense will disappear. A lot of people thought, wow, I'm in the formless realm, arupa jhana, because I cannot feel my body. That one got no meaning, understand? No? It's just a phenomenon. It's just a condition state. If you cannot develop wisdom out of it, no point. So he said, in this state, the environment may also disappear. If this happens, you enter a, what he used the word, shallow samadhi state. No, a lot of people still think they are very great. No, but not that of silent illumination where you would be vividly aware of the environment. Understand? No? You go into the formless mind for what? You are not at the free mind. You cannot be aware. You don't know what is happening because you are in deep state of samadhi. No. That's why I say, don't go beyond upachara samadhi. No. This can also happen at a stage when you feel at one with the environment. If the environment disappears, you are again entering a light samadhi state. This is Surangama Sutta, deviant samadhi. Trap you again. You can see light and fantastic manifestation. This is not practicing silent illumination, in which case your mind would be clear and aware of everything and utterly still. It is possible to enter this illumination stage from any of the earlier stage. That's why when your spiritual faculty has become balanced, the moment you sit, you enter stillness, silent, just aware, no thought, no movement, and don't have to be in concentration. No need meditation object. It is by itself still, silent, because it is no longer deluded. It can just stay aware, because the mind is already trained in sati, stabilized. That's why it's very different. As a result of your own cultivation, your mind becomes clear and bright, and there is no clinging to either self or non-self. And this is true meditation or silent illumination. I repeat and emphasize that you should not take this stage of silent illumination as a spiritual ladder to be ascended stage by stage. It is not about the experience, the conditions. It's about how you use it to develop wisdom. Each stage is complete and is possible entry point for genuine silent illumination. That's why you train yourself in formal meditation to have this stable mind, silent mind in awareness. Then you bring this state into the daily life to develop daily mind. That is the real cultivation. That's why here he says, so please do not anticipate a presumably better stage than where you are now. I talk about the internal infinite and external infinite. No more. Okay. Now we can start. The rest, if you are interested, you go and get hold of the book. Yeah? Then now I will lead you to take the vow. What's the time now? Oh, you. We supposed to end at what time? Oh, I've exceeded by half an hour. Supposed to start at 9:15. Never mind, I will compensate. I cut off the Dhamma discussion. Dhamma discussion at the back, I got 45 minutes. Okay, I will use that to compensate. Okay, now we will do the vow. Turn to the first page, you go back and read. Because last Tuesday, I have finished the Bodhisattva vow. So you read through yourself. This one is for your info only. Taking out the Bodhisattva vows. Okay, now we prepare ourselves. Develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we will together do this. So I read to you number one first. Taking out the Bodhisattva vow. Number one, as is traditional, you may seek out a Buddhist center or temple or a shrine and take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher or mitta. Or if you cannot do so, you can take them at home too, in front of your own sacred shrine. Then you must do this. One must make strong aspiration to take this Bodhisattva vow with determined faith and understanding, sincerely in front of the Buddha. or great Mahabodhisattva who had gone forth before you. So tonight we have all the great beings, Sakyamuni Buddha, Amitabha Buddha, Maitreya Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, even Pusyam Pusa, Tizawang Pusa, then all of the great Mahabodhisattva and Buddha of all the 10 directions. So together, in front of them, we shall make this strong resolve and aspiration to take this vow. Okay, are you ready? Be in a kneeling posture. Then develop the resolve. So making a special aspiration to walk the Bodhisattva way. So you determine strongly. This one is just aspiration, not the vow yet. But you determine strongly. Because later on, I will explain to you how we actually develop the actual vow. Okay. After you have determined, this is the making of the special aspiration to walk this Bodhisattva way. Without this right view and right understanding, you cannot walk. That's why you make aspiration for this understanding to be with you life after life. Now I will teach you how to invoke this. You recite after me following the sheet. By the power of whatever blessings and wholesomeness, that this nature of mine had cultivated from the distant past till now, may it arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mine to have the following right Dhamma understanding. Life after life, whenever it chooses to come or have to come, in the form of a form and mind. First, right view with regards to the law of karma, karma niyama, followed by the right view with regards to the law of dependent origination. Or dwelling. Chitta niyama. In Pali is called Paticca Samuppada or Ittapajjata. Then the third right view is the Four Noble Truths. Dhamma niyama. So this one we already learned, we already know. So you go back, reflect, contemplate, and develop the second turning wisdom on your own. Because this one, law of karma, we have gone through many, many times. Then from there, the essential Dhamma come, how the Buddha actually developed his teaching to advise you to avoid all evil, good, and purify the mind. Then how he advised you to renew your precept, take refuge, and all those things. So all this come from this right view. Then you develop meditation to understand how you function as a human being. Dhamma niyama, or Chitta niyama, sorry. Then the Four Noble Truths is about the essential Dhamma, the essence of his teaching. Then after that, we reaffirm the second right view. To understand the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind clearly. Via the direct seeing. To realize that they are all conditioned arising entity. Cause of phenomena. Hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That is this so-called living being or the five aggregate of form and mind. It's just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us all to come to this existential world. To develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the appropriate right thought, right speeches, right action, so as to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. Then to constantly recite with understanding the following profound Dhamma. Rupang anicchang. We can chant together. Rupang anicchang. Rupang anatta. Vedana anicchang. Vedana anatta. Sanya anicchang. Sanya anatta. Sankara anicchang. Sankara anatta. Vijnanang anicchang. Vijnanang anatta. Sabbe sankara anicchang. Sabbe sankara dukkhang. Sabba dhamma anatta. Then we continue next page, the third right view. Having developed the above right view,
this nature of mind
vows to always
keep the following three sets of pure precepts.
Following the advice of all Sama Sambuddhas.
To avoid all evils.
And to understand clearly what constitutes evils.
They are the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion.
Then you all have to go back and expand on it. What is greed? Not only greediness, anasana, all your craving, covetousness, deceitfulness, whatever you want to take advantage of, that is all under greed. Then the second one, hatred is not anger and hatred only, your envy, jealousy, everything, your negative, unpleasant mental state, dislike, they are all of this evil root. Then delusion is ignorant, self-delusion, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. All these are the third evil roots of self-delusion or sakayadity. Then to cultivate all virtues and blessings, leading to the perfection of them all.
Do
you realize the difference between the advice of the Buddha that you all normally heard or not, and this? Well, because this is to make it more clear. Because most people, they only recite, the Buddha say, avoid all evil. Yeah. Sometimes they even include the word all. No? They say, avoid evil. On the gate of SJPA, they write there, avoid evil. Actually, all evil is to be avoided. Yeah. Then we add what? To avoid all evil and to understand clearly what constitutes evil. That is more important. You don't even know what constitutes evil. How are you going to avoid? That's why you lie after life, vow to have this understanding. So that when you come, you heard this advice, you straight away can connect already what constitutes evil. It will come out because through your vow, through your aspiration. Then to cultivate all virtue and blessing, leading to perfection of them all. The normal one is just do good. Cultivate wholesomeness wherever there is condition. But this one is to cultivate all virtues and blessing, leading to perfection of them all. That one is very important because Bodhisattva, we go a lot deeper in the cultivation. Then the last one is to cultivate wisdom. To help liberate
and take across all sentient beings. So these are the aspiration that you make, so that life after life, when you come, you will have this right understanding through Dhamma understanding. Then only you can cultivate, can follow that. Because this is very important. That's why I want you to make sure this window, you get it right, so that you plant the seed of Bodhi, so that in future all this can manifest. Then at the Cameron Highland Retreat, there were conditions because of Kuan Yin nature on the 8th day. The condition all fall into place. That's why through my nature, I already given you the pure wish. But that cannot take place or manifest to become reality if you don't, on your part, cultivate the condition to connect to all this. Understand? So this is the next stage after the Cameron Retreat. If you do all this, you plant the seed of Bodhi, you are set for all of your future coming. Then you will connect, and not long that vow will take its course and take you along. That's why all these are very beautiful understanding. Because the condition just came during this window, this asana. And a lot of things just happened. That's why the book come, everything come. I didn't intend to teach you so fast on about the 5 stages of Bodhi cultivation. Because that one would be a very long topic. But because this book came in the nick of time, and it has the thing, so I can actually explain to you deeper and summarize to you, so that in future when we do all this sharing, you can understand. Okay, now we will go and take the proper 4 basic vows of a Bodhisattva, taking all the 4 basic vows of the Bodhisattva. Okay, this is now the moment of truth. We do it with understanding, yeah, so that it will become very firmly established. We plant the seed of Bodhi to take this vow. Then the 3 sets of pure precept up there, yeah, it is actually the advice of the Buddha, but we have modified it. So these 3 sets of pure precept actually cover all precepts, because you avoid all evil. We are understanding clearly what constitutes evil. Then you cultivate all virtue and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. Then after that, the last one is to perfect, cultivate and perfect all wisdom, so that you can help liberate living beings and take them all across, thereby fulfilling your vow, your Bodhisattva vow. So the 3 sets of pure precept will tie in with the 4 basic vows. That's why they become beautiful, and it will make a big difference to your cultivation. So now we will recite the first, what they call, from the Avamtasaka Sutta, where before we start, I read to you the earlier page on the first page. A Bodhisattva vow is found, second paragraph, first page, at the end of the Avamtasaka Sutta by Samantarbhara Bodhisattva or Pusen Pusa, and it explained that the Bodhisattva vow is taken with the following 2 famous verses from the sutta. So we are going to recite this. Okay. You compose your mind, determine, with faith, sincerity, and understanding. Then now we recite. Just as all the previous sugata, the Buddhas, generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment, and accomplished all the stages of Bodhisattva training. So too were this nature of mind. For the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment, and resolve to accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training, so that the seed of Bodhi can be strongly planted within our nature. Then we vow, this nature of mind, further vow,
further vow,
with utmost sincerity,
with utmost
faith and perseverance,
faith and perseverance,
to walk to perfection,
to walk to perfection,
this Bodhisattva way,
this Bodhisattva
way, we are taking the following,
we are taking the
following, initial four basic vow of a Bodhisattva.
This nature of my
vows,
to liberate the countless living
beings
from samsara,
and take them all across
to the other shore.
Then the second vow.
This nature of mine
vows to endure
and
severe
all
the section
and suffering.
The third vow.
This nature of mine
vow to cultivate
and penetrate all
Dhamma,
to realize the perfection of all
wisdom.
Then the last vow.
This nature of mine
vow to perfect
the ten paramitas
of perfection,
to realize the unsurpassed
Sammasambuddhahood.
Okay, then we take the additional vow,
So that it will help you break all coming obstruction to bring about the way, so that you can cultivate easily.
Your coming obstruction is very powerful, and a lot of cultivators, they get trapped because of coming obstruction, and they cannot immediately move. Even this life, many, you realize for 10, 15 years, you can be hindered or trapped, because in the past, many, many lives, you also misled people and caused people to lose the way. That's why the coming obstruction will come. So if you don't ask for forgiveness and do your repentance or this thing, you cannot break. So this one is a very powerful way which I developed through my own understanding from my past cultivation. Now I share this with you. This can be applied to many, many other things, but you have to adjust it accordingly, to your particular condition and need. But basically, it covers most situations. Then you can use this to help people also, just like this life, how I help many depressed, suffering, and what living being that has problem, that has coming obstruction and all those things. Okay, additional vow to break all coming obstruction to bring about the way. You recite after me.
Additional vow
to break all coming obstructions
to bring about the way.
Now I determine.
If
by action, speech or thought,
whether knowingly or unknowingly,
we are ignorant,
delusion and heedlessness,
this nature of mine had offended,
or done anything wrong,
out to the triple jam,
which is the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha,
this nature of mine
would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness.
So this one is very important. If you have committed coming offense against triple jam or Sikhism, I tell you, it can be very powerful, and you will have a long, long coming obstruction, and a lot of things will come and disturb you. But the beauty about triple jam is, the moment you ask for forgiveness sincerely, it will neutralize, because all the triple jam, they already have that vow to forgive all beings. The enlightened one, they will do that off and on, off and on. Whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that has caused any coming negativity against this nature of mine, this nature of mine, sincerely forgive them all. May they all to be well, happy and peaceful. Then may the blessing of the triple gem to be with them. So all this they will do. Then we will do the next one. whomsoever from the distant past till now,
whether knowingly or unknowingly,
that this nature of mine
had caused any karmic negativity,
misery,
suffering,
or misled,
this nature of mine
would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all.
May my sincere request for forgiveness
be accepted by all,
so that all this coming obstruction
can be amicably dissolved or watered down,
or lessened,
thereby enabling this nature of mine
to continue with its cultivation,
to realize the true Dhamma with ease.
Then the third additional vow.
This nature of mine also vow
to repent,
and from now onward,
vow never to repeat
any of this karmic negativity,
born of greed, hatred, and delusion.
By following the advice of the Buddha,
to avoid all evil,
do good,
and purifying
my mind,
we are striving on with heedfulness
to keep the five precepts
and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently,
so that it will not violate
this law of karma again
whenever it arises.
Then the last additional vow.
By the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mine
had cultivated
since the distant past until now,
may it arise
the causes and conditions
for this nature of mine
to have the ability
to overcome all other coming obstructions
or obstacles
amicably,
so that this nature of mine
will be able to gain back its life,
life after life,
to walk the path of Dhamma,
to fulfill
and realize all its Bodhisattva vows.
Because this fourth precept is very important, you invoke power of merits.
This is the turnaround. Understand that?
Yeah? Without this invocation of power or merits, this turnaround cannot happen.
The coming obstruction can actually be very deviant and can be very, very powerful.
So when you invoke power or merits for causes and conditions, then it will dissolve itself.
Then you will connect back.
Initially, you have to do this until your way is beyond the third phase of Bohi mind. You remember? When you at the third stage of your Bohi mind, you will develop what they call this very unique. I just read to you to remind you all. At this third phase, you will develop the ability to illuminate your Buddha nature, means you not only realize your true mind, you connect to your gateway and asana. Then you have this ability to actually develop the cultivation until you can illuminate this nature, your true nature within, until it becomes so powerful. Then you will know, you will never regress anymore. So all this obstruction will be gone. Otherwise, you cannot realize that type of enlightenment.
So
the initial phase before you hit the third stage of Bohi mind, you have to ask for forgiveness and all those things to break your karmic obstruction. Then the last one, 4.3, is your additional miscellaneous vow to enhance the cultivation. Yeah? So this one is just to help you along. Then you can add later on. This nature of my vow, to be successful in fulfilling all my above vows soon as possible. To cultivate strong affinity with all Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And to request their nature's constant blessing, protection and guidance always. Sorry, you repeat, add in the word constant. And to request their nature's constant blessing, protection and guidance always. Then the third one is, the third additional miscellaneous as well is, to strengthen my five spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya. Until they become balas or powers. Life of the life. So that all the above vows can be successfully fulfilled with ease. You know why you have to do this or not? Because most cultivators never perfect the spiritual faculty. That's why every life they come, they have to train. They have to do all this over again. But I realize this nature of mine, when it come, the moment I cultivate, the spiritual faculty was already there. That's why I can sit, I can silent, I can meditate, I know what to do. And all this come from the vows. Otherwise, this nature cannot be what it is today. Like it is so lucky and everything like goes away, and you can understand. And you can never touch psychic and all those things. I never learned all this life. How did it happen? Because of the right view, the perfection, the vows, the aspiration. So all this, the teaching is already either forgotten or lost. And everybody sattva can evolve their understanding and come with better and better one. So this is what my nature understands and is able to share with you all. So this is the third additional vow, miscellaneous vow. So the fourth additional miscellaneous vow is to cultivate extensively all virtues, blessings, and merits to help support my cultivation so that they will shine forth to aid this nature of mine when needed in time of trials, difficulty, and tribulation. While walking the Bodhisattva way. This one is very important, I realize. Because without the virtue, blessing and merits, very difficult to walk this way. That's why I realize a lot of Zen masters, they come, they suffer a lot. They go through a lot of difficulty. Because the focus is too much on cultivation. Understand not? Virtue is also important. Love, compassion, merits, blessings, they are very important. That's why the Sakyamuni way is very good. He set up the Sangha and the Leti, the synergy and asana. That's why he said you keep your precept, follow that type of practice and cultivation. Virtue is a source of what? True happiness and joy. And virtue is a source of true peacefulness of mind. But the last one, virtue is a source of truth. Spiritual wealth. You will receive spiritual wealth when you make offering to worthy ones. Understand? And in return, they will send blessing to you. That's why you must make the vow or aspiration. Imina punyang kamina. Means invoke power of merits. That's why the Buddha help you by the power of whatever merits that you have cultivated. Yeah? May arise the causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish
and the heedless, without the wise and the enlightened one. But you must understand who are the heedless and who are the enlightened one. If you don't cultivate and have this right view and right understanding, you cannot identify them. You have the vow no use. You come, you don't know what constitute evil, heedless. And you will still be gullible and become good friend of them, even though you vow. Understand? Well, you vow without understanding, like I used to tell you. You vow to meet up with Maitreya Buddha when he arrives. When he arrives, you born, you meet, don't recognize. So? Because you don't even know what are the quality of a Buddha, where you don't cultivate affinity, you just vow to meet. Meet, don't recognize. Then how? Cannot follow. Doubt some more. And the worst is, meet, then abuse him. I tell you, that one, nobody can help you, I tell you. If you go and abuse a Sammasambuddha, I tell you, no amount of repentance can help you. Because that one is heavy karma, understand? Very, very heavy. Okay, we end with the understanding of what constitutes the 10 perfection. So, under note, the 10 perfection of virtue leading to Buddhahood are, first is generosity, dana. That's why you come for the living being. You have a lot of kindness, a lot of love, a lot of compassion, and a lot of generosity, where you just serve people with altruistic mind. You don't think for yourself anymore. That's why dana parami is very powerful. Give of truth, give of service, help, and whatever you can to relieve suffering from living being. Then sometimes you have the means, you're very generous. You actually bring about causes and conditions for many beautiful things to unfold, like this life, Kayanamitta. We did so many things with our Kayanamitta Fund. So generosity is your generous heart. When you radiate metta, when you radiate love and compassion, when you come for the living being, when you develop great compassion and love for living beings, you have dhanaparami. Then you develop moral value. Sila means you determine not to violate nature's law. You have right view regards the law of karma. You maintain wholesomeness of virtue, avoid all evil, follow the advice of the Buddha. Then renunciation is nikama. You cultivate through what? Through developing wisdom to sever all attachment. That's why the final summary, cause of suffering, which Sanyam Phasa didn't explain. But according to the Buddha, all of suffering comes from your self-delusion that condition you to grasp at the five aggregate of form and mind. So all of this grasping, clinging is a cause of suffering. So when you have the wisdom to endure and sever all suffering and vexation, means what? You have the wisdom not to be deluded, so that you won't attach, you won't cling. That's how you renounce the world, the conditioned world, all of the phenomenal world. That's why renunciation becomes stronger and stronger. And you come with clear understanding, for my mind, not me, but vehicle and tool for me to develop the cultivation and the user of thought. You know how to arise the right. All this you will understand. Otherwise, you cannot understand. So, nikama is the third one. Then, perfection of wisdom, you already vow, understand, to cultivate all Dhamma Dhamma, to perfect all understanding of Dhamma. Then spiritual zeal, when you take the refuge, when you vow, you already have the sadha and the virya, your spiritual faculty. That's why this will be there. Then patience means what? Kanti. You are not in a hurry to fulfill this vow. You take your time to perfect all this vow so that you can develop all the wisdom, all the virtue, all the understanding, and experience all of the wonder and beauty of life, so that you can come and continuously perfect your nature, your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. So these are all very beautiful. Then after you have that understanding and wisdom, you will never lie again. Truthfulness satcha is very easy to perfect, because you got no more self, you got no more selfishness, craving and all those things. You will be very sincere, very truthful in the way you go about doing things. So all this become very easy. Then number 8 is very easy, adhitana. This one is my specialty, I perfected it. That's why I understand this one very well. That's why I know how to use power of aspiration, repentance, asking for forgiveness, and invoking power of merits to vary them to help you in your cultivation and to overcome karmic obstruction. All this is not in the teaching. The repentance they do is different. Even Sanyin Fasu explain also different. Later on, if got condition, later on I share with you. It's in that book. You all can read through. His repentance is different. But different people come with different understanding. He has his way. To me, this one is the complete way. His one is one aspect of it. Then the next one is loving kindness you should have. Without love and compassion, you cannot save the living being. So compassion is also under number 9, love and compassion, metta. Then number 10 is equanimity, upekkha, enlightenment factor, born of wisdom. Again, all this can be perfected. Then now you look at the 10 perfection, it's like very easy. After you develop the 4 basic vow. Okay? So this is how we end. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now you can continue your activity. Ayo, we got 6 more minutes for you only. Okay, you try to do whatever you have to do. Okay.
We are brothers, sisters in the Dharma. Congratulations, everybody. Newborn, happy birthday. We shall call upon Brother Song to present a garland to our beloved Brother Teo to express our gratitude and respect. Brother Song.
She is right in the sense that you are newborn, embryonic bodhisattva. The first stage, aspire to be a bodhisattva, to walk this way. You already qualified with your faith and your sincerity. Okay, come. Okay. So where you want to do it? Over here? Yeah, better. Yeah.
Now we shall call upon Sister Mi Fong to present a bouquet to Mrs. Teo, who has always been so supportive and watching us.
Lang I see here, look here, look at the cameraman. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Yeah, I really rejoice with you all because you plant the seed of Bohi today. Some of you have already planted it before, but you cannot remember. But these were the rise, the causes and conditions for you to connect and recall very fast. Then later on, you will come to know your own vow that you have, like some of the Kayanamita. They came to know
that they have such vow. Some, the vow came through Earth Store Bodhisattva. Some came through Medicine Buddha Yao Zifo. Because it will happen and you will know. Because these are the beings you have, the being's nature that you have affinity with. And some is Amitabha, some are Sakyamuni, then a lot is with affinity with Kuan Yin. Then later on, as you cultivate, you will know that you have certain vow developed. Like my nature, very strange. I told you all before, I got this vow. I got two very strange vow. One, I think you all know already. Every time I come, I must have the highest understanding. Then the second one is, I vow to take across all those beings that sacrifice as food for my nature to eat. That's why sometimes born as fish, chicken, not bad one. When the time come, when there is condition, this nature vow to take them across. So, but then one life I can take how many of these chicken or fish or not that many. Every day, let's say I eat various type of dishes, maybe maximum 5. 1 year times 300 something, only how many? 1,000 over. 1,000 over is that? 10 years, 10,000 over. Then 100 years? 10,000, 100 over 1,000 on here. And you have billions and billions and billions of beings. So how? That's why at least there is the vow. So actually, to have the condition to be food for my nature, not easy, I tell you. They must have some parameter or condition. So somehow things will manifest and you will know your vow. Okay, continue, next one. Otherwise, not
enough. To cut short, we sing the happy birthday song. Yeah, the rest we keep for our Kayana Mita gathering later.
The Pei Ni Tao Tien Ya can sing one time. The birthday song first. Where's the cake? You have to cut. Oh yeah, the cake is there. Maybe we put one candle. And let somebody represent all Kayanamita to blow that cake. Oh, sorry, somebody turned this one. Okay. At the bottom, put at the bottom there. Is it a Samsung? Samsung at the bottom. No, put it on the floor better. Put it on the floor better. Very clear.
牵手走天边，恩怨都忘了，愿清平等笑相见。花落又花开，曾说相伴两徘徊，问君可知否，今天眼前我重来。
Okay, testing. Okay, there's one more thing that I need to remind you all. This Bodhisattva vow and aspiration that we have planted the seed of Bodhi today, you must for the next 3 to 6 months read through it, if possible, every day to remind yourself, to determine deeply that these are the important right views and right aspiration that you have to make, and you want to have this understanding life after life. So this life you must make it very clear. Until later on, without that sheet, you will be able to recite them or call upon them. until it becomes a part of you. If this line also you cannot recall, then do you think it will happen in future? Unless you have condition, when you come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma again, then there is condition again, and then it will come out. Of course it will come out. But if before you meet all this, before you encounter all this, if you have developed a strong vow and aspiration with understanding like this, like when I come, my nature understand by itself. When young, it already start to search. Then it only need to encounter the real Dhamma, the true Dhamma, in whatever manner, whether in a book form or somebody say, like Hui Ning, he heard the Diamond Sutta, one verse, the mind must have no dwelling, this nature arose, straight away connect and understood and already awakened. Because this is your understanding that you vow to have life after life. So when you have them, your nature will move, because your karmic nature, your spiritual nature will take you along. Then the condition will manifest. Then when the time comes, the teacher will come, the guide will come, and all these books also will come. And later on, living being that has affinity, you also will come. You can ask around, apart from my university mate and my wife. All of you, I don't know you one. How you all come? It's through your affinity, your condition. So all this, you must understand as you go into the cultivation, you will develop all this understanding. But initially, don't worry. Yeah? Take your time to learn all this. But have faith, sincerity, then persevere. And all will fall into place. You don't need to be a very special being to have all this. No. Everybody also start from somewhere in the distant past. This nature also start from basic. Like most of you who don't have anything, it start from the first Bodhi mind, to plant the seed of Bodhi, to aspire to walk this way sincerely with the faith. Then after that, the cultivation just fall into place because of the vow, because of the aspiration. And all this will become easier and easier and easier as you know how to develop the aspiration and vow at the time to break all this karmic obstruction, to bring about causes and conditions for all the great beings to help you, to protect you and to bless you and to help you arise the causes and conditions, yeah, to avoid all the foolish and the heedless made out of the one. Then you must cultivate on your part to learn to understand who are the heedless so that you know how to avoid them, and recognize who are the wise so that you know how to benefit from them and develop affinity with them. Then likewise, when you cultivate, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then only you can avoid all evil. Then you must train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to be ever mindful, so that this cultivation can come out of it easily. Okay, with this, I will end. Then we better do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit, so that you can still have some time for your food. I realize people have brought some food. Okay, sharing of merits with the devas.
Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana.
May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation.
Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya.
May all beings share this merits which we have thus acquired, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness, and may all devas rejoice. Then transfer merits to departed one.
Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo.
Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all too be well and happy always. Now we make our aspiration straight away.
Ipina punyang kamena mami balasama kamo สัตตังสมากโมโหตุยาวะนิวานะปัตติยะ by the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish and the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then this song sheet you can return them. If you want to borrow to put us there, you ask permission from Padmasuri. Yeah, we intend to recycle this. Otherwise, every time you file don't know where, then we have to print again for you. The Bodhisattva vow you can take back. Only the song sheet you return.
Hi, all the brothers and sisters. Just a reminder, on the 1st of May, this coming Sunday, is my house, Dana. Hope everybody will be there. Thank you.
ตัดเนี่ยเรื่องกูเรียบหมดพ่อขอรู้ว่าขอรับ